Morning, everyone. It's kind of like with the children at chapel. Morning, everyone. Oh, excuse me for interrupting. Guten Tag. Oh, okay. Good to know. Aloha. ¿Cómo estás? So we're just wrapping up the third commandment. Some of you have page numbers. Later editions came with page numbers. So that's page 9. But anyway, it's the third commandment, the last page that goes with the third commandment. Just in conclusion, as we're talking about how to maintain our relationship with God in those first three commandments. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We'll look up that one. And the other one we'll get ready to look up is Psalm 145. So 1 Peter 2, chapter 2. Anyone have that one handy? Greg? Okay. Crave pure spiritual milk. So what does that have to do with the third commandment?
The whole Bible, even the parts of it, really don't like to hear.
All right. Okay, you need to stick with the law and gospel. We need to stick with those parts even that we don't like to hear. That convict us in our sins. There's never a time in our life when we should not be craving the Word of God. Just like as a baby's always hungry, so we always need to be hungry for the Word of God. And at the key of that, the foundation, just like with music or sports or any of your jobs, is there ever a time when you don't need the fundamentals, the basics? I mean, so when it always comes to the basics of faith, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus will come again. Right? We can't lose sight of that foundation. So prayer versus worship. I know we've touched on this before. Prayer versus worship. Prayer involves who? Who's involved in prayer? The obvious? God and us, right? Is prayer a means of grace? No. Prayer is not a means by which we come to faith. Now, through prayer, we can ask God to strengthen our faith, and then He directs us right back to His Word. Again, a majority of the answers that we have in prayer that we bring to God, He already has answered in His Word. And so, like the psalmist, Psalm 1, meditate on the Word of the Lord day and night. And then we find those answers that we're looking for. So prayer is valuable. It's a communication between God and us that He's opened up to us through Jesus Christ. But it's not to take the place of. So as I said before, sometimes when you go visit somebody and, you know, yeah, I'm not coming to church, but I do pray a lot. When are you going to let God talk? And finally, faith comes from hearing the message. Faith doesn't come from just talking. What you have to say. You need to hear what God has to say. That's how faith comes. So the importance of being in the Word. Psalm 145, verses 3 to 5. Steve?
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. Come on, stick with that on. Okay. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works.
Okay, thank you. Meditate on his wonderful works. Who of us here knows it all already when it comes to God and the Bible? Who's got it all memorized and all figured out? All right, we got one. Kim, you might want to move away. Right, so there's never a time that any one of us can say we don't need to keep growing, stay connected. And then also what we're to do with the word of the Lord, to pass it on to the next generation, to set the example. You know, we've touched on this before with dropping off children to Sunday school and then going to McDonald's. You know, that leaves an impression on children. Or what are your priorities on the weekend? If we're not busy on this weekend, we'll go to church. If we're busy, well, you know, then we're not going to church. Well, they pick up on that. Or if you're taking God's name in vain during the week and kicking the dog, and then you're going to church on Sunday and you act all prim and proper, kids pick up on that. What example do we set for the next generation? And when it comes to God, we'll never be able to figure him out. And that's a good thing. Because again, do you want a God that you can figure out and manipulate and control, or do you want a God that is way smarter than us and yet at the same time has made himself known to us? What a God we have. One that we don't have to be afraid of, but one we are to respect and love and trust. So bottom line, third commandment, let us not refuse to hear the word of God. Let us not crowd it out of our lives. Let us listen to it and obey it, and then share it with others. That leads us to the fourth commandment under the introduction. Simplest summary of God's law, again, those five words, love God and your neighbor. Now, why isn't this put into practice more? Obvious answer, sin. How does sin show itself in our not putting this command of our God into practice as we ought? It's a deep subject. Okay, just being in a caregiver position and other aspects of life, it can wear you down, right? And we're human. Now, that's not an excuse to ignore showing love. I mean, thankfully, God, we wear him down, but he doesn't get worn down. And so he, praise the Lord, he doesn't. And that's what reinvigorates us. His mercies are new every day. Every day he gives us a fresh Philip of his mercy and love, so that we in turn can show that love and mercy in the lives of others. Because he knows we're going to get pushed down. And when we're tired and we're hungry, cranky, look out, right? But again, that's not an excuse. So it's just something we have to recognize, that these aren't just words that roll off our lips. God truly wants us to love him. And when we love him first and foremost, it becomes easier to love those around us, even when they're unlovable. Keeping in mind, God loves us and we're not always lovable. But we need to stay plugged in to put this into practice. So how do the law and the gospel work together? Law and gospel work together. All right, one shows us our sin, our need for a Savior. The other one offers that forgiveness of sins. One crushes, one heals. And we need to be crushed so that we can heal. It's kind of like with surgery, right? You need to have that surgery done to get out the infection or whatever it is, the tumor, so that healing can begin. First commandment deals with God's, one word, glory. Second commandment deals with God's name. Third commandment deals with God's word. So as we said, that's our relationship with him. And now, having that in place, how do we apply that to our other relationships? So what are some of the earthly blessings we are able to enjoy in connection with the commandments, in particular the fourth and fifth commandments? What are some of the blessings we can enjoy in light of those commandments?
We survive to be adults.
We survive to be adults. Not easy.
Long life.
Again, not just physically, but spiritually as well. But part of that too, that long life, I mean, again, it can be an enjoyable life if you're always doing something wrong. I mean, blessings come with obedience. If you're always mischievous, I mean, your life will end up being miserable. At peace with God, okay? What else? Where else does God want to have peace? Not just between us and Him, but also with one another in society. And so oftentimes in our prayer of the church, we pray that God provide us with a peaceful society, a stable society. And what helps society be stable? What's one of the key ingredients that God has given to help families be stable? Yeah, family. Help the world be stable through families. So as the family becomes unstable, so society becomes unstable. And when society becomes unstable, there's missing peace. And when there's missing peace, it's harder to live our lives. God knows what He's doing through these commandments. It's a no-brainer to us. Protection of life, right? God offers protection of life, even of the unborn. And we'll get into that more. Respect for the office. I mean, that is tough, no doubt, as human beings. Respect for those in office. The office is always to be respected. That doesn't mean people in the office can't lose respect. But we still want to be respectful of those in office. And that's something, again, we always have to remember and work on, especially as Christians who are to let their light shine. Yeah. Right?
I think it also equips us to fight off the devil, the world, the growing flesh. You know, and it's a constant battle. And by these commandments, it equips us to keep going forward and focus where we need to be, keep up with Christ and His love, and not our needs and desires.
Right. The commandments keep the focus on God and His will for us, and thus, part of that will is, how do we get along with others? Lisa, did you have your hand up? Oh, okay. All right, so the fourth commandment, honor our father and mother, that it may go well with us and enjoy a long life on the earth. Keep in mind the context of that commandment again. God was setting the stage for the Israelites to enter the promised land. Again, I'm going to help you be that nation set apart to set the example. And if you obey, there will be blessings, including long life. If you disobey, enemies will come and they will take your life. Now, the commandments themselves, are they still applicable as God gave them at Mount Sinai?
Absolutely.
As He gave them to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. Why do we obey the commandments? Because they're written in Exodus 20? No, because it sums up the natural law that God has written in our heart. The moral law is applicable to us still today. That's what the Ten Commandments are, summing up the moral law, the law written in our heart. We don't follow the ceremonial law, we don't follow the civil law, and we don't follow the moral law because it's recorded in Exodus 20. We follow it because that's what was written in our hearts but became clouded by sin. So the key word there was, as God gave them on Mount Sinai. So that long life, God was thinking of them in the earthly promised land. So let's not look at that as if, God, you promised me a long life here on earth, see? That was for that particular time and people. Now, the promise can still resonate to some degree for us today, too. I mean, if you're going against your mom and dad and taking your bike, jumping it off cliffs, there's no guarantee you're going to have a long life. Louise.
Well, I think still today,
children to think, oh no, I'm turning into my mother. But as you go through life, you know, if all your friends jumped off a cliff with you, I mean, just those gentle cliches actually really still hold true today.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, unfortunately, we don't always appreciate that when we're younger. And there are some good ways that we do turn into our parents. And then watch the Geico commercials for ways not to turn into your parents. So the comment here, again, the real basis of the law is love. We've built on that from the start. And so comment on that. Real basis of the law is love, because what does love lead us to do? Love. Or what?
Honor God by following his commandments.
Honor God by following the commandments. And you said? Right. So showing that kindness and that compassion. Again, our motivation for doing such is the love of Christ. Not, oh, they were kind to me first. So we need to be the example. Unselfish love. Someone has said, Bible love is unselfish activity of giving ourselves in service to others. Not counting the cost. Because if we're counting the cost, we're missing the joy. We're missing the opportunity. Or if we're doing it a checklist. No record of wrongs in shoeboxes. Luke 11, verse 42. And?
Woe to you, Pharisees, because you gave God the tenth of your mint and rue and all of the kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former.
Okay, so what was the issue that Jesus had with the Pharisees? What were they following? Man-made law, right? They were following the spirit of the law, not the intent of the law. And so Jesus calls them out. Oh, we don't have anything left to take care of our family because we're giving it all to the church. And Jesus says, bah, humbug. Right? You have a responsibility for your family as well as for the church. You know, it's not an excuse. But they thought, we're more righteous because look where we're giving our money. But we are to provide for our relatives and so forth as opportunity comes before us to do so. And a reminder that our action is not based on whether we like the person or not, or whether or not they'll be able to return the favor. Just a reminder of, in a way, you think of our law enforcement, they're not treated very well these days. And yet, what stories do you hear repeatedly on the news? How law enforcement is risking their lives, pulling people out of burning cars, you know, putting themselves in the harm's way still. And yet people have the audacity to ridicule them and shoot them in cold blood and think nothing of it. See what happens when we don't follow the commandments? All right, those who have authority over us. Oh, just a, sorry, side note. So I always try to encourage our officers when I see one, you know. And so I was rolled up to one at the corner of Greenback and Sunrise. And it was like perfect opportunity. But I hesitated to roll down my window because I didn't want him to roll down his window and then say hi, because I was thinking, he may say hi, and then he gets to the next intersection. Someone else might roll down their window, and he'll roll down his window, and they'll shoot him. So I'm thinking, don't roll down your window, because I don't want to put him in a false. Now again, officers are smart, but that's what's going through my mind. Of man, you can't even say hi to an officer because I don't want to put his life in jeopardy. Those who have authority over us, Ephesians 6:1-4. Who's got that for us? Dan?
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may go well with you, and you may
Okay? What do the words obey and honor mean to you? And do we have to expound on that?
No.
He's not listening, it's okay.
Yeah, he can't hear anything, doesn't matter.
Right? What else goes with that obey and honor? I mean, again, obviously for God, we want to obey and honor. But who has God put in our place? Yep.
And that's where we should think of father and mother as well.
All those people who are put into our life to watch over us. Right. So that with that honor and obey, it's an active, those are active imperatives. Again, it's not something that we can just set aside. We are actively to be listening, actively obeying them, honoring them, to count as valuable. To revere. And like to Lisa's point, sometimes we don't do that until later in life when we become parents ourselves. How good it would be if we could realize that earlier. Is the promise with this commandment still valid? We talked about that. Not in the same sense as it was then. Again, it somewhat ties in with what we discussed when it comes to parenting. It's not easy, but too often parents complicate it because they try to be the friend instead of the parent. There's a time when that will develop into a friendship, but it won't develop into that friendship if you don't be a parent first. And as we said, children, teenagers, they do want rules. They'll buck them, but they want rules because that's a way of showing love. You care about them. But sometimes we as parents think, well, if I don't have any rules, they'll like me. And how often is that played out in divorced situations? And then it really gets ugly. And it's not good for the kids. They may like it at first, but then that gets old too. And some realize that they don't like it at all. And so they're doing their best to always bring mom and dad together. But it may not happen. And so we have to teach them how to work through that too. Right. If you don't enforce the rules, it leads to chaos. And that's why parents are encouraged to take that deep breath before they hand out a rule, a punishment. Right? We said you don't want to be grounding your child for life because that's a punishment on you too. Is the behavior of children worse, better, or the same as when you grew up? Okay. So you put it, it's on the parents, not parenting the same. Children are all the same.
I think human nature is the same. It is the same. But if you don't have the rules, the regulations, the punishments, and you change the dynamic of how the child is.
Okay.
So I think the parents are to spank and the children will be okay.
So you want to spank the parents? Okay. Parenting is changing. All right, other comments?
The disintegration of the family has led to, if you wish, children be worse. Maybe they're not worse. They've learned that they don't need to respect. So, yeah, it could be parents, like she was saying. But yes, society has gone downhill. it went to the destruction, basically, of the family.
Okay.
But then in that, the society, is that not society, not made up of parents?
Right.
Inmates are not made up of parents.
Well, and again, here's one of the good things that, oh, Louisa, for you.
That's okay. As a working mom, and my husband and I have always both worked full-time, we found it very important to make sure the kids are in church every Sunday. Well, not every Sunday.
Yep.
As many Sundays as possible.
It's a priority.
Sunday school. So, I mean, generally, I think, compared to me, my kids are way better behaved than I was at their age. But my family took me to church, and my parents both worked full-time. I think a lot of it, though, in today's,
yeah, so I mean, again, it's going to depend on your viewpoint on the answer of that. Part of that is just the decline of God in the world, and not all families are taking the Word of God seriously or taking their responsibility seriously. I mean, it might be career is taking more of an advantage in the household, whether it be husband or wife, father or mother. Society is not as helpful. I mean, a neighborhood would help watch. Grandparents were more accessible, and now we're all over the country. So there's many factors that play in. Parenting today is not easy, but parents aren't helping as much either. And then when you try to offer parent classes, they don't show up. Paul.
It's very difficult to deal, a parent to deal with all the distractions, you know, the cell phones. I remember when I first joined this church, there was a man by the name of Joe Wilmer. He said, I will not own the television because it takes away from my family. And so can you imagine today?
Yeah.
That was just a television.
Sure.
And it was clean then.
Right. No, I mean, so there's no doubt that it's tougher on parents today just because there's more outside influences and the support network isn't as handy as it was. And so that's where the church has to be mindful of that. And, you know, we try to support parents as we can, right? Anyone else on that? Right, there's that battle taking place. I mean, one of the positive things that did come out of the pandemic when it comes to families is parents were waking up to realize what their children are being taught. And then school boards have become bold to say, no, they're our kids. Well, we as a school, we recognize we're not here to take over for your kids. We're here to assist you as parents in raising up your children, not to take the place of. But how important it is, again, is as we pointed out before, that you know who your teachers are, whether it be in the private sector or the public sector. And that you do have to be even more mindful because of so many influences on the web and so forth. I mean, you think how many children are on their phone, and it's not all good. Yeah, so going on, explain the use of the word exasperate. And especially, who's that called out to? Fathers. Don't exasperate your children, Louisa.
Overpunish.
That fits in there, yes.
Okay. My reading in the Bible says, stir up anger in your children.
Right. Don't stir up anger, right? And you can do that by not having the punishment fit what they did wrong, or your expectations. You know, you blew out your knee, and so you lost your career in the Marines. Doggone it, my child's going to be a Marine, or my child's going to be the athlete that I wasn't able to be, but your child is into music. Well, no son of mine is going to be playing a trumpet. I'm just saying that. But right, I mean, so we exasperate our children by putting these expectations instead of knowing where they're coming from. I mean, we still have expectations, yes, but are we trying to live our dreams out through them? Do we exasperate them? So there's punishments, there's false expectations.
Yeah,
fifth. I'm happy for you. That's what you need, you know, to work with. Just give us your best. I can't, you know. It's always something bigger, faster, and stronger than you.
Yeah, they need that. They need that encouragement. They don't need dads beating up the soccer ref, who's volunteering their time, right?
The worst we got is we got one of the things. That says, you know, you could have done better. And I said, yeah, I got an A anyways. And he was like, that's what he used to share with me. He knew it, but he could go up to for a level.
Sure.
He get that in line. He knew it was a line. Wasn't could just get to it.
Well, we always loved when our kids got A's because that meant we're Krispy Kreme donuts. So. All right, explain the role of discipline to a child. We know the role of discipline. Now, how do you explain that to your child? How did you explain discipline to your child? Greg. Okay, first things first, priorities. Okay, good. Clean your room, then play. Yeah. Many adults could still use that. Yeah.
As a teaching moment, as our youngest always says when we start talking to her, I don't need a lecture. But that's, to me, that's teaching them the ways, hopefully, you're following Christ's example and those responsibilities. But I always thought of discipline.
You're right, discipline is a teaching moment. You know, one professor would always emphasize, too, I would go and discipline the children, and then a few minutes later I would go back and explain why. Do you know why I disciplined you? And then maybe play with them for a few minutes just to reinforce, you know, love and encouragement. Paul.
I think the easiest way is there's going to be consequences to your actions. What if your parents going to react?
Sure.
And how you do that, I guess, is what you maybe you're getting at, is you got to do it in a way that's God-pleasing, not just out of anger.
Right, yeah, well, so you want to know that there are consequences that come with actions, and we're trying to spare you from hurtful consequences. And that kind of goes into that exasperation. Mothers will tend to be, tend to be more loving and encouraging, where the dad is going to be, get over it, right? But the dad sometimes needs to, I get it, son or daughter, right? You know, just show some compassion once in a while as well. But discipline is a learning. I mean, discipline is a good thing. Teach them how to win or lose, and the earlier they can lose these or learn these things, the better. But sometimes with everybody gets a participation trophy, that hasn't helped. Losing is part of life. And how do you bounce back from it? How do you get through it? Right? That's part of discipline as well. You're going to lose your cell phone for life. No, just kidding. You're going to lose it for a time. But that may not work with every child. So again, every child's unique too. Child one, you just had to look at child one. Okay, I'm good. Child two, all right? That's what my wife told me anyway. Not just kidding. Well, that's true. All right. So bottom line, Solomon, again, when he said, you know, spare the rod, don't spare the rod, he wasn't talking about the physical rod, right? But don't spare discipline. And sometimes it may include a little. But again, make sure you're not doing it out of anger. And it's not for everybody. And not every child reacts the same way. Yeah, and earlier you can start setting those lessons. Now, you may not give them the whole load, but, you know, you always want to be truthful and keep building on that as they get older. And also then, when it comes to the school, I mean, the school is to discipline children, and they sometimes have to. Now, again, it needs to be above board, but when parents undermine the discipline of the teachers, what happens? You know, the chaos again. Yes, right? And especially if they're separated, all the more they need to be on the same page for the sake of the child. Lisa, yeah, go.
Well, just challenging now, though, I suspect, for public school children, because they are being micromanaged to no end for unreasonable reasons sometimes, and I think that probably gets a little harder in the setting
they're in. Sure. Yep, the micromanaging can lead to that exasperation, not just by fathers, but by society and others involved. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Kevin. Okay. Hopefully we never have to live in a time such as that. Right? Other than the sinful nature, how do we end up at this point? To what was just read? What was that?
It's the last days.
Yeah, in the last days, right? We've been in the last days ever since Christ descended, in a sense. And while we see a good number of that taking place around us, is this the sign that we are in even more so in the last days, or is it going to get even worse? Either way, the advice of Jesus is be ready, be alert. The signs are all around us that this is temporary, that this world is not a kind place because of sin. But we've also had a generation grow up with, it's not your fault, it's your parents' fault. Right? So if you can blame somebody else, which then goes back to Adam and Eve, so nothing new under the sun. But if it's not my responsibility, then I'll take ownership of the wrong that I've done and then finding ways to correct it. Or what else have we been doing? We like to feed people with the idea that you are the most important person in the room. Remember, I think I told you, that one teacher every day for 40 years asking the children, who's the most important person in the room? And they're all were supposed to raise their hand. And then she couldn't figure out why at recess they were always fighting to get the ball first and be in line first and stuff. Well, because you told them they all were most important. Now Dad would come in and say, you're nothing. No, just kidding. Don't exasperate. Right? And then the whole lack of discipline at home and school. I mean, you and I, we know these things, right? This is nothing new, earth-shattering. But may God bless us with opportunities for our children and grandchildren and those we know, as we have opportunity to enlighten them in a loving, kind way. Hey, have you checked out the commandments or checked out this passage? God's got some advice for you. Hebrews 13, verses 7 to 17. As you read through these words, the question is, what is the pastor's role and how can you assist him in that role? Hebrews 13, 7 to 17. Lisa.
Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Is this where I drop the mic? I'm just kidding. What's the pastor's role? To what? To lead. Set the example, right? Especially in word and in example. Speak the word. Don't get caught up in false teachings. Encourage godly behavior, right? And then what's the role of those that the pastor is serving? Yeah, respect. Again, the pastor ideally is supposed to be calling out sin, along with, for the opportunity of forgiveness. And do people like to hear that? And so when they come to you and say, you know what pastor said to me? Yeah, well, did you deserve it? You know, what's going, you know? And again, the pastor needs to be above board as well. And there's an accountability factor even more so. God puts on overseers, pastors and teachers and so forth, and parents. You know, we all have this extra layer of accountability, not to be oppressive, but just to be mindful of the awesome responsibility that we have in raising up that next generation. And so again, maybe have children fallen away to some degree because they didn't see a good example towards the church and leaders in the church. Now again, it's not all in the parents. And this is our society is going through a phase, Lord willing, it's a phase where there's just this drawing out of church, of institutions. And so we need to continually set the example all the more and pray about it. And this next one is huge too, Romans 13, 1-7, as we hear these words. What are the key words when it comes to what we owe governing leaders? Romans 13, 1-7. No, I appreciate that. I mean, in the office, can pastors lose their respect? Sure, and that's part of the downside. How many pastors have not held well to the office? And so, unfortunately, people then disrespect the pastor, but then they also disrespect God. And they forget that the office is still worthy of respect. And that, here we get in the why the call is important. These are God's servants. It's not a hire and fire position. How many churches out there have pastors that are self-appointed or don't have training? And so, you know, false teachings, like the article we talked about last time, where, well, this church isn't accepting of my lifestyle, I'm going to go to that church which is. And so now there's confusion. And, right, so appreciate it. No, I appreciate that. No, and you're right. And pastors have to recognize that they need to preach the law to themselves first. All right, Romans 13, 1-7. Thank you. Submission to authority. You got it, Jen?
Those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authority, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor.
Hey, these can be tough words, especially in our days. The key word there, one of the key words is repeated. What do we owe our leaders? Again, the office. Respect. Submission. A yield to. Right? They are there to govern. God can even use dictatorships to carry out his purposes. And so there's a respect there. And so not a rebel. Now, are there legal ways for us to challenge our leaders? You bet. We are encouraged to pray for our leaders, that they have a change of heart. And there's, again, the importance of the Great Commission. The one thing that really can change their heart is the law and the gospel. And honor. And so part of, again, if as the government doesn't hold itself accountable, and then we, the people, don't hold the government accountable, we get that chaos, lack of peace in society, and that impacts our lives individually and also our lives as a church. And so one of our prayers has to be, yeah, God, continue to bless our country with freedom, especially religious freedom, so that we can continue to proclaim the gospel here and also take it elsewhere. But even in governments that are not favorable to Christianity, the Christian message is still getting out and about. I mean, right? Remember in Russia, in Europe, through the radio, the underground radio ministry that was taking place. And so when the walls came down, all these churches went up, Christians were there, and they're going, where did they come from? They were there. They weren't in open rebellion, but they were listening, hearing the word of God. Debbie.
Every time I read this, I think of Bonhoeffer.
Yeah.
And wonder, was he wrong?
Yeah, that's the debate, Bonhoeffer. That's the debate people have. Was he wrong in challenging the government? Now, again, how do you challenge the government? Yeah. So it's not for us. You know, justice is God's. How do we go about challenging our leaders? I mean, some will say that with Washington and everybody else, were they wrong? But God has blessed, God can even bless, thankfully. If it wasn't right, the right motive initially, God can still has blessed the result of that. But even still, there come challenges. What do you say? Yeah, in the sense of, right, and we know that, we want to hold them accountable, but that doesn't give us the right to shoot them. That doesn't give us the right to talk bad about them. I mean, sometimes I wish this wasn't on of live. I don't agree with President Biden and all his policies, but if he walked in here today, would I show him respect? I would. He's the president. That doesn't mean I agree with him. Same with our governor. And so we don't want to wish harm on them, and so we have legal ways. The recall is a legal way for us to do it. We have the voting opportunity. We could do that. How do we train people to take advantage of the rights we do have to use your vote? Your vote matters. You know, how many of us is kind of, someone else will vote, or it doesn't matter. Well, there are legal ways for us to push for our vote to matter. We got some good representatives in our area. Let's support them. They're fighting, you know, so I love their articles in the paper. Yeah, God's ways are not our ways. He does accomplish a lot through evil. So by this, yeah, we want to make sure we don't apply it wrongly to one side or the other. God help us find that narrow Lutheran middle ground of how to show respect for the government while at the same time holding accountable when they err, just like we would do in the home and also in the church. You get the last word.
It's a slow process, but we change the left. We could change the church. Reformation, not revolution.
Yeah, Reformation, not revolution. Same with Jesus, right? They wanted him to be a revolutionary, and he said no.
Unfortunately, it's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight.
Correct. So, God bless your living God's commandments, even sometimes when they're difficult to put into practice. Have a great day and week.